Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is Jay Tapp back with you with your weekly sports podcast, Not Just a Game. And this is a unique podcast upload because it's not on its own. This is chapter two of two chapters of the Anthony Billups story. He was a star pitcher up at Rockton Honeniga back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Worked his way through college, hurling 90 miles an hour plus, looked to be on his way for to the major leagues. A car accident kind of derailed that, but it set him on a different path, a path which is turned into a professional artist and a professional musician path in Nashville, where he's a rising star. He's become a success story and an inspiration story. So we already had chapter one, which brought us through his playing days, brought us through college, took us through the accident that took his sight away temporarily. And that's when he fell in love with playing the guitar and found a renewed love for his artwork. Let's jump in with chapter two now of the Anthony Billups story on where that took him.
And started that day, started chasing my dreams, 2007, and never looked back. Here I am 14 years later. We can get into some of the stuff that I've done, but, you know.
Well, Music City Murals, first of all, right? I mean, this is now your company and now one of your big things. That give us an idea of what that is and how, what it's grown into.
Yeah. So I referenced Dave Stewart earlier, and everything that I do is it's all derivative of my time being an athlete. You know, that's kind of what makes me different from other artists. Is that experience. And Dave Stewart said something that day at Northern Illinois University, I'll never forget. It sticks with me to this day. He was giving a speech and he's like, look, I've been an MVP. You know, I've won World Series. I'm probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. I've done all these things in baseball. He said, but you'll never be judged by what you do while playing baseball. You'll always be judged by what you give back to the people that are coming up behind you, which is why he was there. And that has stuck with me. And I think that's so important in everything that you do in life. So that, you know, in 2007, I was 23, 24 years old. I had no business being a full-time professional artist, but I, you know, worked really hard at it. There weren't any people, you know, 15 years my senior, there weren't a lot of people that could advise me. There weren't a lot of people that could mentor me because there aren't a lot of artists. There aren't a lot of artists that can make money. Yeah. So, you know, I've had to learn it all, the hardships, what to do, what not to do. So my goal with Music City Murals is after I started painting murals and being successful at painting murals, I wanted to kind of create a company where I can use my strengths, sales, competitiveness, personality, you know, and I can go out and attain work and, you know, some of them I paint, some of them other artists paint, and start cultivating this community, this team that can go around making money as artists and also changing our city and doing really cool things, you know, on big walls throughout the city. And it's just kind of grown into this thing. You know, yesterday, you know, now with everything, the world is so crazy. Obviously, there's a lot going on. But back in February, March, you know, I painted this mural. And it's like, you know, how the kids do all the, my hands won't make the heart for some reason. But they do the Taylor Swift thing. Yeah. But I did this big painting in of a hands doing the heart thing with the Nashville skyline going through the back, and the tornado hit and then the virus hit. And so I just simply, I wrote "Spread Love" on it. And that mural has, you know, it's impacted the community. And that wasn't my intent. I just wanted to tell everybody I love Nashville. Mm. It's kind of become the symbol of, you know, loving your neighbor and trying to be compassionate, and we're all in this thing together. And so in that neighborhood, just yesterday, actually, had a meeting with that development team there about doing a 12 to 16 mural project right in the heart of Nashville, and just spreading messages of that sentiment about, you know, we're all in this thing together, you know, tell somebody you love them, you know, try to be kind.
Great message for these times.
Yeah, you know, and so that's what's been so cool. You know, this year when the tornado, I mean, and it hit, I mean, it demolished the city. You know, one of my, you know, I wouldn't call him a competitor, you know, it's like a friendly competition, but another muralist, a couple of guys that I really like, Jason Galaz and Moby Warner, they did this big Nashville Strong, you know, mural. And it is just like, it's big, just part of the, it's become part of the community. You drive by it and you're just like, yeah, we're do this together. We're all in this together. So that's what's become so cool about Music City Murals.
And I want to get some visuals of some of your work, and I'll put it up on our website at rrstar.com. Attach some to our story, but wherever you can find the podcast, you'll be able to check some of that stuff out. I've seen it. It's amazing. People, you know, you don't always know, but I mean, the type of art that goes into these murals, it's just incredible, and the skills are incredible. And you also are showing your skills with your guitar and your songwriting abilities as well. So there's two sides of Anthony Billups' professional world these days. Give us an idea. I mean, you've been, before the virus came, you had been playing for how long on Broadway?
Yeah, so, you know, when I started doing, you know, art and music, you know, I didn't want to choose. Everybody would say, well, if you choose art or music, what would you choose? And I'm like, I'm never going to make that decision. I love them both so much. They run sometimes in tandem. Mm. See, there's been times where if I can't do music, then I can do art. You know what I mean? And so on and so forth. So like, you know, a background on the music career, I really kind of got a late start. In 2009, I opened a, I was kind of, in 2008 is when, you know, the housing market and everything just crashed. The gallery that I was talking about shut down. So I lost my studio space. Uh-huh. And I didn't know what I was going to do for studio space. Well, I had found this building in East Nashville that was really cool. And I met the owner, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but if you'll give me a chance, I'll get in there. I'll just take my energy in there and see what happens. And so it ended up becoming the building. So a venue in Nashville, we ran it for 6.5 years. So at that point I had written like maybe a song or two, but by opening up that place and bringing in my art, bringing in music, I started to surround myself with musicians, and I've always wanted to perform. I've always wanted to entertain, and I've always wanted to write. So by being around all these just incredible, amazing talents and you know, learning from them, working with them, you know, I've also the whole time been doing music. So, you know, I had the venue. I would do shows here, and I released my third album. this past year called Nashville Superstar, which is it's about being famous in Nashville and Nashville only. But, and just, you know, sticking around. It's not an easy city, but it's a very rewarding city if you can stick it out. The past year I felt so fortunate. You know, most musicians, when the pandemic hit, or something like that happens, your first inclination, most of us are like, well, we'll just go wait tables, you know, or I'll go bartend. Well, then all the bars got shut down. So a lot of folks didn't have something to do, and I could just lean on my art. And so I felt really fortunate for that. But before that happening, we've been playing every Monday from 3 to 6:30 at Tin Roof Broadway for about 6.5 years. Wow. And, you know, if you'd have told me 6.5 years ago that I would be playing a Monday show on Broadway, you know, for tips, you know, I would have told you I quit, you know. The thing about being down there is I get to play original music. I'm one of the only guys that gets to play original music. So I get to play all my songs. I get to be funny. I get to entertain and put on my show. And, you know, I started getting that love of going out on the road and performing for people. Well, I could just do it here. I can see my wife every night. I can do my art, and I can be, you know, home as opposed to being out on the road. So
in Nashville, you know.
Yeah.
Where else could you really do that? It's that kind of town. It's amazing town.
Yeah, there aren't that many places, you know, and there's, like I said, 10 to 2, 2 to 6, 6 to 10, 10 to 2.
New Orleans, maybe. New Orleans is similar.
I think now there's probably, you know, if they've all remained open, somewhere around 100 to 200 places like that in this town.
Wow.
And so I've found this harmony between art and music. But this year, look, I'm going to do my murals and I'm going to run that business, and it's growing and it's going, and I want to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. But really this year we're sitting in my jungle room right now. You know, mm-hmm. I want to reconnect with music, not only with my fans, but with the process of writing. You know, already this year we've written a few songs, and so I'm excited about that. Already talking to a few people about going in and cutting another album. So you know, it's like I tell people, if you get in the music business for profit, get out.
Especially lately, this past 10 or 11 months, it's just devastating to a lot.
But it's for my soul, it's invaluable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I'm at a good place here where I can, you know, do both and enjoy both.
That's neat. I mean, it's such a neat niche that you've carved out. I mean, a lot of people don't get to. It sounds like you kind of had the three dreams, the baseball, and then at some point music and art, and you've been able to make quite a world with two out of the three anyways.
Right? Yeah, well, I tell you, man, you know, I turned 38 in March, and you know, as you and I have been kind of reliving and telling the stories and everything, yeah, I really feel like I've had so many experiences. You know, I've lived so many lives. I feel like, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for those experiences. You know, to be young I still consider myself young, to be relatively young and to have had all these experiences. You know, it's been awesome. And I think, you know, there's just more coming. You know, there's some big things here that, you know, this deal goes through with this big mural project. I mean, it'll change the city. It'll be for, you know, it'll be forever. It's like you can write a hit song. You can write a hit song and it'll be big for a week or two, maybe a month, maybe a few years. If you're lucky, 20 years. If you're lucky, it lasts the test, you know, stands the test of time. That's when I paint a mural, somebody's going to have to come paint over that, or it's going to be there forever. And so I take a lot of pride, and I'm honored to be able to do that, to try to create something that will outlive me, you know, like, it, you know, if the tornadoes don't, you know, knock it over, it'll be there, you know, possibly forever. So that's what what I get so much joy out of doing. And then, you know, if some little kid comes back behind me and sees this, you know, 6'2", 230-pound guy, you know, up on a ladder painting murals, like, oh, I could do that. Yes, you can.
That's right.
You know, that's what I've always, you know, I don't have any kids yet. But, you know, I will someday. And I hope by that time I can just look at him and say, look, man, you can literally be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want. I didn't believe I'd ever be a full-time artist. I didn't think it was possible. That's why I got that job in sales. Hmm. And but here I am, you know.
You've proven it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
It is. And everything that you've been through, it makes you who you are. But especially in your place, I mean, what you've been through, it gives you, inspires you to write songs and inspires you probably in your artistry as well, right? I mean, that's who you are.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, I talked to my father about this a lot. You know, I love my job. There's not a day that I go to work and I'm ever just like, oh, you know, I'm always, I'm fortunate. You know, I paid those dues. I feel like the things that I went through were just putting me on the path that I'm on now. And, you know, I feel fortunate to be able to do it. I feel a lot of responsibility being able to do it. I want to inspire, you know, kids and, you know, whoever, adults, whoever wants to be an artist, that they can do it. Actually, this May, I was supposed to start teaching college, which is a dream of mine to be a professor. Mm-hmm. Of course, when the pandemic hit, college was canceled. So that's something else that I really want to get into, you know, here soon, is getting into the teaching aspect of it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, what's the name of your latest album?
Nashville Superstar.
And where, I mean, it's so different, music and how it gets out there these days. How do you suggest people dig that up or get it? Or, I mean, you don't run down to your local neighborhood record store these days anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing is that, you know, however you want to listen to it, listen to it. I know it's on Spotify. If you listen to it on Spotify.
Okay.
You know, nobody makes money. So I would send everybody to iTunes, maybe.
Okay. But,
you know, for me, it's just, I just want people to hear it.
Sure.
You know, it's Nashville Superstar. What it is it's a self-deprecating song about a guy who wants to be a big famous country music star and ends up the guy with a beer belly sitting on a bar stool once a week down on Broadway, you know, and that's what the songs are about. You know, the album for me is really cool. It has that song on it, Nashville Superstar, the title track. It has a song on there called Do As I Say, Don't Do As I've Done, which is something my father always said. Mm. And it's my advice on how to make it in the music business. Like, ask somebody else. That's my advice. It's a lot of songs like that. You know, I think... I learned a long time ago how to laugh at myself and you know, have that humility and humor to be able to do so. So there's quite a few songs on there. There's a song on there called My Baby Wants a Baby Bad. Certainly living that one, you know, through year six of marriage here, you know. And there's a song on there I'm really proud of called My Great Grandpa's Porch. It's a spoken word piece that I wrote about my great grandpa's porch. My great grandfather was a Southern Baptist reverend for 56 years.
Oh, wow.
And he lived to be 86. He lived till I was 20. Oh. And so I got to spend a lot of time with him. Hmm. And it's just kind of a retrospective look back at life. through those days of listening to the AM radio on my great grandpa's porch. And that, you know, the first song I've ever written with my father's on there. First song I ever wrote with my wife is on there.
Oh.
Called Story of My Wife.
Nice.
And so there's, you know, there's a lot of cool songs I like on there. Hopefully people get to listen to it.
Good. I hope our listeners will dig it up and find it in some way and start to get you famous, not just in Nashville, at least Nashville and Rockford and Rockton. And I mean, come on now.
Well, look, I've got to, on that note, I got to give a shout out to everybody who at the Roscoe Rockton Lions and let me get up and perform there. You know, I got to open up for Luke Bryan up there. You know, still a connection I have down here. I've done some work with his management team.
Mm-hmm. And when was that? I forget.
What was that?
When was that? I forget when.
2011 or 2012.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But and then playing that show, I met PJ, the owner of the Wiffle Tree, which is the greatest bar ever in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
and the Funai Crew, his group there, the Funai Crew, have been, you know, my basically my fan club up there. And they're always, you know, my supporters and the best players on my team. So I want to say my crew up there.
Let them know your podcast is coming this week. Yeah. Tell them to spread the word.
Yeah.
And Anthony Billups, this has been so much fun. We got to finish. You got to pick up that guitar that's in the background and you got to let us hear a little bit.
Okay.
You told me earlier you had a song that has a little taste of the state line and Rockford area here.
I'll tell you what, I was planning on playing that, and then we started talking about Nashville Superstar.
Oh, good.
So now I was feeling like maybe I should play that, or I can
fresh stuff.
I can play them both, whatever.
Give us some fresh stuff. I like it. We talk so much about it. Let's hear the news.
This song's about a guy who moves to Nashville, Tennessee to be a big famous country music star, and in doing so makes himself one promise. If he ever ends up being the guy sitting on a bar stool once a week down on Broadway with a beer belly, by God, he will pack up and head home. Then he becomes that guy sitting on a bar stool once a week down on Broadway with a beer belly and decides, you know what, this ain't so bad after all. Totally not about me. Well, my face ain't on the cover of the Rolling Stone. On the cover of the Rolling Stone, but from East Nashville to Berry Hill, I am well known. And I may not be the picture of fortune and fame, the picture of fortune and fame, but around these parts, mother truckers know my name. Yeah, 'cause I'm a Nashville superstar. I got a quarter tank of gas in my fiance's car. It don't hit me too far, just from my couch to the bar, so I can sit up on a stool and play my broken guitar. No, I ain't Garth Brooks. I'm playing the part of a Nashville superstar. Nashville superstar. I'm a Nashville superstar. No, my name ain't up under any marquee lights. Marquee lights. I played the last show at 12th and Porter 2 times. That's a venue here in Nashville. And all my videos can't be seen on the CMT. Can't be seen on CMT. Well, you can find them on YouTube if you follow me. That is at Anthony Billups. Yeah, 'cause I'm a Nashville superstar. I got a quarter tank of gas in my fiance's car. It don't fit me too far, just from my couch to the bar, so I can sit up on a stool, play my broken guitar. No, I ain't Luke Bryan. I opened for him once. 'Cause I'm a Nashville superstar. Nashville superstar. I'm a Nashville superstar.
Yeah, all right.
That's That's more.
That's hot. That's hot. When did you write that? I mean, sometimes just because it's on a new album doesn't mean you just wrote it. Did you write that recently?
Well, it was a quarter tank of gas in my fiance's car. So I've been married for 5 years.
Oh,
so okay. About 5.5, 6 years ago.
There it is.
I was sitting with my buddy Django Walker. Django is a great singer, songwriter out of Texas. And his father is the late, great Jerry Jeff Walker. And may he rest in peace. He just passed away a few months ago. And so Django and I were sitting on Django's front porch in East Nashville. And we were trying to think of something to write. And we just couldn't think of anything. And I had a show that night. It's called Revival 615. So Revival 615 is basically, it's at the Tin Roof on Demundrian. They have a big church pew, and songwriters go in there. They sit on the pew, and you get to play 3 or 4 songs. So their tagline is Hank and Jesus are watching. So like, you know, play it like Hank and Jesus are watching. You know. Nice. And it's a show, you know, if you know Luke Combs, which I mean, you have to live under a rock to not know who Luke Combs is right now. He's got a song called She Got the Best of Me. And the creator and founder of that Revival 615 show is Rob Snyder. He was one of the writers of that. And if you watch that video, Luke is playing at Revival 615. So anyway, that's the show. So I had a show there that night. I was scheduled to play, and I was like, man, I'm actually really excited just to play this show. It's a little show here. I play 3 songs, and I really enjoy it, you know. And I just started playing downtown, and I was starting to appreciate it, you know, where if you go out on the road, you know, you hope to have 70, 100, 200, whatever people at your show. You hope to entertain them and connect with them. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the van there and back. I was starting to fall in love with being here. And I'm like, you know what, this ain't so bad. You know, Elvis just stayed in Vegas there towards the end, and everybody went to see him. So maybe I'll be the Nashville Elvis.
That's right.
You know? He just started, you know, you know, the lines just started coming out about, you know, just making fun of me, really, you know, self-deprecating is my specialty. And we just started putting those words down, and I started playing. I played it that night, you know, at that show. I was looking at the words, you know, and then and it just became something so fun to start. I start off every show with it downtown. You know, I get on the mic and I go, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nashville, Tennessee, you know, and do the whole thing. And I play that song and you know, and then I say that line about, you know, I ain't Garth Brooks, but I'm playing the part because I'm in Nashville. You know, I'll say, you know, I ain't Luke Bryan, but I'm still trying, you know. Ain't Cole Swindell, but I'm still giving it hell. You know, I just like, ain't Chris Young, but I'm having fun. You know, I just name off all these guys that are really my peers. They're all people that I've kind of grown up with in town. But, you know, I found my niche. I found my area, and I'm happy to be there. So that's what the song was about. I've played it at every show since. I can't imagine I'd go without playing it. And it was fun to finally record it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And now everybody can hear it. Yeah. Even if you don't get down to Broadway, don't hit the Tin Roof.
Well, look, I've been talking to folks about, you know, coming up there and performing at the bars around Rockford is one thing that I really miss. So I hope, you know, when things stop being so crazy, you know, I can come up there and play some shows and get the Funai crew out.
Oh, cool. Let me know if you're going to do that. I'll drag all my podcast gear out to do a live take, you know?
Yeah, I love it. I miss everybody out there, you know.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to have so much support, not only from the Register Star throughout my sporting career. And, you know, like it was one of the coolest moments ever when I was on the cover of the Go section. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had finally made it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I grew up, yeah, that's what you did every Friday. You go get the paper and you go to the Go section, figure out what's going on.
Right. So
you can't see it in here, but I'm about to get it framed and have it up on my wall of fame here in the jungle room.
Excellent.
And, you know, WIFR, I just had some memories popping up of that. And I had a memory pop up of hanging out with Steve Summers. And I just, you know, the State Line area and everybody up there is such a big part of my life and career. I've got it in my list of dreams is to come up and paint a mural in Rockford. I would love to do, you know, I'm a big history guy. So I love doing historical tributes of Nashville here in Nashville. But I'd love to come up to Rockford and do one somewhere in the State Line area someday. You know, I told you, grew up, one of my buddies, his grandmother played for the Rockford Peaches. So she'd come out with her kids, you know, his grandma would come out and hit grounders with, you know, come out and play ball with us.
Right.
So I would, you know, love to do something with the Peaches, you know, that history there. And I told you I was a Rockford Lightning ball boy. So we could do we could get the Lightning in there somewhere, you know.
Tons of connections, man. Yeah. We got to get you out here for a show. And then, I mean, do you ever do it like, and then paint at set break and then come back out and finish your mural after the show? Or, I mean,
I tell you what, I've always tossed around the idea of trying.
I've seen that at music festivals.
Yeah. Well, I've always tossed around the idea of doing a piece of art while performing.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like patting your head and rubbing your belly at the same time.
Right.
I'll do it. I'll try it.
All right. There we go. That'll be a first. Well, whatever. However you get out here and whatever you do, we want to keep involved. Like you even said, you have such neat little pockets of stories. And I'm so glad to get to tell it and get the word out there a little bit about everything you've been through, what it's made you. How it affects your music and your art. It's just cool stuff, and you're a neat guy. So thank you, Anthony.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the kind words, and thank you for spending the time for trying to tell my story. I just tell everybody up there I love them. Treasure those days, playing Old Settlers days. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you guys can tough it out up there. We'll tough it out down here. And by golly, this thing will correct itself and we'll all be able to do it again.
Yeah, very soon. Let's hope we'll see you up in this area working your art very soon. Thank you, Anthony Billups. This was fun. Thanks, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Take care of yourself up there.
You too.
We'll see you soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.